Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Saturday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show.
Hey, everybody. It's Johnny B.
Boudreaux, what is happening?
Man, I'm rip-roaring ready to go. I had some oatmeal with peanut butter in it this morning. I'm ready to go, baby.
Boy.
Great day to be alive.
Well, that'll glue your intestines together.
Well, that's for sure.
Peanut butter and oatmeal.
Hey, it tastes good. I can't knock it. I tried it for the first time a couple weeks ago. It's pretty good.
I'm sure it is. I like who doesn't like peanut butter? Yeah. Rats and mice really love peanut butter.
Oh, yeah.
If you ever want to catch them in a trap, that's the bait. Catch me with it, too. But, yeah, you could probably mix that up and hang fish mounts and deer mounts on the wall with that.
I wouldn't be surprised.
All right. Well, cool. Well, it's Easter weekend. Good Friday's behind us, and here we go. More than you can tell, it's full moon out there.
Oh, my gosh. My mom was flipping
driving
out in the car.
And, oh, man.
It's beautiful, though.
Hey, that moon last night coming up was as pretty as I get.
My mom said, man, you can almost poke it with the stick.
Had a full moon coming up over Trinity Bay last night.
But it was pretty out there.
It is. Not much water left after yesterday. That blew all the water out. But, hey, at least it's calm this morning. Well, thanks for tuning in, folks. This is a great weekend. A lot of families getting together, a lot of things being done, and I would like to try to estimate how many millions of pounds of crawfish are going to be boiled this weekend. There's a lot of them being boiled yesterday. You can just drive through town and smell it in the air, man. I kind of live east of town, so it's farther that way you go, the more Cajunized it is. Sponsors for today's show, Castaway Rods, Boyd's One Stop, the Belleville Meat Market, Texan Roofing, Mainstream Marketing, the CCA Star Tournament, and Skeeter's Auto Service. Right now in Galveston, it's 53 degrees down on the island. Quite cool for this time of the year. And out my way when I left, it was already 49 degrees. And we still got a ways to go before daylight. So it'll be a cool, brisk morning. It's pretty much calm at all stations right now, but today they're calling for sunny skies down on the island, high of 74, north-northwest winds. They'll be shifting to the south-southwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour, and then tonight, winds south at 10 to 15, a low of 66, so those south winds will return a little bit warmer temperatures during the night. And then tomorrow, sunny, high near 75 down on the island, be about 82 here in Houston for your Easter Sunday. And south-southeast winds will be cranking back up 15 to 25 miles per hour. So, goodness. It just get a blow in from the north, and it turns around and goes right back the other way. Starts cranking pretty good. Looking at tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have a high this morning at 6:34 a.m. It's got a ways to go to come into normal pool. The tide is quite low this morning after that northwest blow yesterday, so bear with that. It's going to take a while to get all that water back. But then we have a low at 12:34 p.m. a 1.0, then a high at 4:54 p.m. a 1.3, and then a low at 11:51 p.m. an 0.0. 6:48 a.m. sunrise, 7:49 p.m. sunset, and our moon phase right now is full. And looking at current conditions around the complex, offshore, we at the buoy 22 nautical miles east of Galveston, we have a north-northwest wind at 11, gusting to 13, seas are 1 foot, and looks like water temp at the buoy is 69. It dropped about a degree overnight. And then Eagle Point, water temp and air temp are not available at either of those stations, Morgan's Point or Eagle Point this morning, but the wind's working west-northwest at 5 to 6, and up at Morgan's Point in the north end, it's south at 2 to 3. Barometric pressure readings at both those stations is 30.06 inches and rising. Looks like offshore waters from the Gulf of Mexico, this is Central Gulf, out to the Flower Gardens. We're looking at northwest winds, 10 to 15 knots today out there. Seas will run 5 to 7 feet with a northwest to north swell. And then tonight, northeast winds 10 to 15 knots, seas will run 4 to 6 feet. And then for tomorrow, east to southeast winds 10 to 15 knots, seas 2 to 4 feet. So there you have it. Winds, weather, tides, all that, inshore, offshore. Let's go to Sabine Lake now. Let's start off with Captain Bill Watkins. Bill, good morning. How are you, my friend?
Good morning, man. Happy Easter coming up.
You too, my friend. Well,
I'll have some family in this weekend. And, make a nice ham and some other good trimmings.
Right.
It don't matter what she fixes with it. It'll be good anyway.
It'll all go down good.
Yeah, my wife is a good cook. She's absolutely going to kill me. And she loves to bake, too. It is impossible to be on a diet around here.
Yeah, you just got to roll with it. Just
yeah, you just got to have a little moderation.
At least we'll die happy.
I sure hope so. Oh, man. How about this weather, huh? It blows us
something
away.
Else, isn't it? Something else.
Yeah, it's gonna finally settle down, though, and then it's going to be summertime. We'll be wishing for a little bit of cool air. And I think probably like I told you before, I will have you some fishing reports next weekend. I'm going to fish next week one way or another. I'm going out. Looks like we're going to at least get some southeast wind for a few days. Might be a little bit strong, but that's okay. That's just needed to blow that way for, three or four days straight.
Well, just pick one direction and just keep blowing there. Just, you got northwest at 30 to 40 one day, and then it'll turn around, and 2 days later you got south at 25 to 30. So
that's right. They just need to get cranking in one direction, and I'll shut up and be happy with that.
Yeah.
The switching around is what kills you. But anyway, the Neches River, it's falling out. I mean, I think they're shutting Rayburn down.
Yeah, Rayburn's back to normal pool. I talked to Will yesterday morning. He said it was normal pool now.
I noticed that Neches River up above my house at Evadale is falling out. It's first time that it's done that in a long, long time. And the Sabine's still got a little bit of water coming out, but it'll all pretty well stabilize now. It's just about time for everything to salt up now. So it's going to be going to get right. And we'll be discovering fish in lots of places. Have your trout moved off the shorelines any yet?
They did for me this week where I was fishing. There was very few in there, and that's basically all we could do at 25, 30 mile an hour winds. I had to knuckle down against the shoreline. I couldn't go out in the middle and look for them in a boat. I mean, I could have had, but that, I don't like fishing in that rough stuff like that.
But, no. No.
I had my mind. I was going to wait all day, and that's what I did, and I paid the price because I didn't do very good. But, hey, that's fishing, man. That will not be the last bad trip I have, I promise you.
I think they're going to be in and out for a while over here yet, but it's definitely, as the water temperature comes back up, 4 or 5 days of 80-degree temperatures, air temperatures, it's gonna make those fish move out a little. But they'll be coming in early. They'll feed in early, and then they'll back out during the day. And that's going to make the bite more important than it has been.
We're going to have a heck of a spawn in May, because the egg in these fish that I'm looking at right now, they're a month away. And they'll be probably our biggest spawn of the year will be in May, over here. I'm sure yours is pretty close to being the same, too.
I'm pretty sure it'll be that way here, too. May, June.
But, I figured this week with that full moon and, with the tides bulled up like they were and the wind cranking, I didn't have much other choice, but I figured there would be a little more movement, fish moving in shallow. And, of course, there was a lot of shallow areas that I normally wade this time of year that I couldn't get to. It was over my waders. It was too deep because of that bull tide.
It wouldn't do me any good.
Yeah, it would. I'd have drowned you or plogged if I'd have took y'all with me.
Yeah, I've pretty much given up wading. That's a little bit difficult for me anymore.
Well, but it's just easier on me. I don't know why. I guess I've done it so long. It's just you're freer. You're more mobile, and it just even with standing up like that, when you're in the water, you become more buoyant, and it takes a lot of pressure off your knees and your back too. Plus, it's good for you.
I think it probably is. I think that that's a mindset that we get. What you trained yourself to do.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I wade fished a lot back until I started fishing bass tournaments.
Yeah.
And after that, my mindset completely changed back to being in a boat. And I don't know. I just learned how to control that boat so well with the tools we've got now that I'm just as comfortable in the boat as I would be in the water anymore.
Yeah.
But people want to fish in the water. I don't mind throwing them out there, you know.
Well, a lot of places I fish, you know, I try catching those, and I'm real good out of the boat. I've proven that. But a lot of places that I fish, you can't get a boat on that flat and get them in there and work those fish over right, because they'll run right out. They'll go straight to deep water. You'll push them out every time. But wading, you can hold them in there. And sometimes I have to do that because I have people that won't wade, and then you just got to get in there and pick and peck and get what you can before they all, you know, you push them out off the ledge or whatever, or push them in a bayou. But it's all good. We're all fishing. Doesn't matter how we do it. We're out there.
Yeah.
Therapy, man.
If I have enough waders on the shoreline on a particular area.
Well, you can use them to push fish to you.
I let them push the fish right out to me. They push me out, push them out there.
Well, and that's the biggest mistake wade fishermen make is they'll stomp through their fish and they'll push them out. They
don't do what you're talking about. They just stomp up and down the shoreline trying to find a fish. They don't realize how much noise they're making.
Search and destroy.
Yeah. A pressure wave, whether it's coming off a wader or a boat.
Yeah.
I always stood real still when I was wade fishing.
Once you get a bite, you stop, and then you start fanning your cast, work the area over, and find the sweet spot or where those fish are congregated. If you walk into the middle of them, you're going to push them out. You're going to scatter them all over Heck's half acre. That's the luxury of wading. You're able to stop and be quiet and ambush those fish like they're trying to do to bait fish. Hang on, Bill. Let me take a commercial break. I'll come right back.
You got it, bro.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 419 in the Bayou City. Little moon song in there, huh? Big John?
Always got you, Captain Mickey.
That's it. I know it. Hey, you play them. I'll read them. All right, let's go back to Sabine. Let's talk some more with Bill Watkins. All right, Mr. Bill.
Hey, man.
We are back.
I wanted to tell you something. I finally, after over 3 years, wore out my first Concept C.
Those white ones, you can't kill them, man.
I mean, I fished that thing hard day in and day out. That was my main battle reel. And I sent that thing in to get it repaired. And that was an interesting and a very good experience with a reel repair man. It was gone about, a week and a half or 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And forgot about it. And all of a sudden, the reel repairman called me with it a piece. He had it in pieces on his desk. He said, okay, I found out what's wrong with your reel, Mr. Watkins. And I said, okay, cool. And he told me what it was going to cost to fix it. And he tuned that thing back up and sent it to me within about, I guess it was 4 days before it got there.
Yeah.
And man, hey, I pulled it out of the box and it was rocking and rolling again. And it wasn't that expensive. So I'd recommend that. If you had
who did you use? Because the girl that I've had forever over east of town out by my house, Susie Montgomery, you know, she retired. They quit doing it. So it's hard
sent it
to.
Concept.
Oh, you sent it back to Concept?
I sent it 13 Fishing.
Okay.
In Florida.
Right.
And that. I wondered what was going to happen. That was my first experience with that. And shoot, jam up, good job. I actually called me, told me what was broke, told me what it was going to cost, and paid him on credit card, and here come the reel.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah, pretty fast turnaround. I guess the whole thing took 3 weeks from start to finish. And I didn't send it in, you know, in any special way that would get there faster. And I thought that was, you know, that's as good as you can get turnaround for a reel. And they got all the parts right there. They know what they're doing.
Right. I've sent a couple back to them, you know, with the Ease, that gray one, the high dollar one, you'll get a bump in it. With the level wind and what it is, it's machined so close in there with the paw and the worm gear and all that you get a little bit of salt corrosion in it, or just one piece of grit, it'll do that bump when you get to one side, and it just bothers you because when you're jigging and reeling and everything, it messes you up. And it still functions properly, but if you'll get home, they told me to, when you get home, just wipe it down, then get you a alcohol swab and just clean the gear itself, you know, or the worm itself. The worm gear, and then the outside where your slide goes back and forth, and then re-oil it, and it'll be perfect. And
Well, this particular one failed, and I mean, this is the Achilles heel of all bait casters. The anti-reverse gear under the star drag.
Mm-hmm.
That does those roller bearings in that thing.
Yeah.
It's hard to get oil to that.
It is.
And you let it get with that oil,
moving parts wear out extremely fast without oil on them. It's kind of like draining your truck engine, pull the plug on it and run it down the highway, see how far it'll get before it finally, you know, craters on you.
Yeah, when you're cranking that thing in and it starts feeling a little bit sticky,
yeah,
it's already too late. But there's the bearings in those reels are so good that if you got some oil on board and you put it down that star drag shaft and get it going again, I have actually got away with that a couple of times.
Do you oil yours from the outside, put it up under there and let it drip down from the outside to the inside? You ever tried oiling it that way?
I take the handle off.
Yeah, there you go.
And put it right against the shaft. I use kind of a light machine oil.
Mm-hmm.
You really need a thicker oil on that bearing, but, you know, in the field, you can't take the thing apart.
No.
If you're out there in the water fishing and you don't want to stop.
It's hard to do it from the inside, too, when you take the side plate off. It's better to do what you're talking about, take the handle off.
I'd just as soon fight a bear as I had pull a side plate off of any kind of a reel like that. I can do it, but that's tedious, and I don't like tedious.
One spring pops out, and I'm going, I'm done. I don't know where this goes.
Well, when you put it back and you got one of those washers on the...
Yeah, a little E-clip left or something left over, a tiny screw going, uh-oh.
Yeah, now what do I do? Like putting together a Swiss watch.
Hey man, I fish with them. I'm not a mechanic.
I have a
I'm
single
the guy that tears these up, you know.
I have a single-minded focus on fishing, and that's catching fish, and anything else around it I'm just not too interested in. That's why you carry spare reels. But, you know, that was a many, many hard fishing days.
Oh, yeah, and throwing lures, you know. People don't realize what a workout a reel gets just by chunking and winding all day long, repetitively, over and over and over again. That's a lot of movement.
Yeah, anytime I can get 3 years fishing with a reel, my main reel, and fishing with it every day, that's a good reel.
Well, you take care of your stuff too, you know, because there's a lot of people, they cuss any kind of reel they get because they'll go out there and wade with it, drag it through the salt water, won't clean it up when they get home. They just throw it in the garage and break it out and go again, and it then it doesn't last, and they blame it on the reel.
Yeah, anytime you let it slip over the side of the boat and fall into the water, or you're standing there wading and you stick it down under the water and reel it a couple times, you better take that reel apart when you get home, you know, or at least stick it in a bucket of fresh water and slosh it around and then re-oil it. Because if you leave it in there, it's just, you know, all that grit and stuff. The water's not clean.
No, water's full of sand.
Yeah. That's the death of them. But anyway, I was pleased with my first experience with 13 fishing and their repairs. Good stuff.
Well, that's good to hear.
They got some new rods coming out. I haven't laid my hands on. I've seen some in Academy.
Mm-hmm.
They look good, feel good, but I hadn't tried any out yet.
I hadn't either. But I like their reels, and I'm really impressed with this new TXZ. That's the, you know, it's the TX with the seafoam green paint job on it, you know, with a saltwater anodized-like paint. And it's in a Z reel now. And I don't know, I've had a couple now for a couple of months. Boy, they're holding up real good, and they're real smooth. They cast like a dream. I'm really enjoying them.
I ran into Dex Doolittle at Academy in Beaumont here a while back, and he was telling me all about that. I don't have one of those, but he's real knowledgeable about all that stuff. Nice guy to talk to.
Dex Doolittle?
Dex Doolittle from Main Street Marketing.
Well, I don't know him. Yeah, I do. I met him at the show. Always over this way, I always run into Dean. He's one of the reps with...
I hadn't run into him yet.
Dean's one I always run into.
No. Well, that's... I'm pleased with their products, absolutely.
Well, that's
some
good.
That's some of the smoothest reels I've ever put my hands on.
They're holding up.
Yeah, I've got two of the orange Z reels.
Right.
And that's the two I fish with every day now. They're not any smoother than the white reel, but they cast a little bit further.
Yeah, it's because of those zero bearings.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
You get just a little bit more out of them, but that white one, the Concept C, I got customers that's had them ever since they came out, and they just love them. They're holding up good. Well, all the ones I've got four or five of them. And I can go to any one of them I want to, pull them out of the drawer, put them on a rod, bingo, they're going to work good. They really have held up. That's probably all around for the money, that's the best reel they have for now so far, till we prove otherwise with these newer reels we're fishing with.
Yeah, till you find out that one's better, that's I'll have to agree.
The only problem they had with the C when it first came out, the first year it was out, their first few batches of them, the paint on them, once you, got them dirty several times with the salt and all that, you get a little blister on the paint. The paint would peel off, but you could send it back and they'd give you a new reel.
Yeah.
It was just cosmetic is all it was. I didn't even send mine back. I just kept using them. When you got something that works, I don't care what it looks like as long as it throws and, you know, just cosmetic stuff, there, brother.
I'm out there all the time, and I don't look so great either.
That's it. Boy, I'm telling you, we're getting weathered. All right. Well, Bill, I got to roll. It's break time, so Hey, if somebody wants to call you and come on over to Sabine and fish with you, how do they get a hold of you?
409-786-2018.
Or fishsabinelake.com.
That's right, and I'll have you a report next week.
All right. I'll be waiting.
Okay.
Patiently. All right, brother. See you, man. Take care.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a couple of questions.
If you want to fish in Texas, you better listen to the Outdoor Show.
All right, well, I'm going to quit pestering y'all. God bless you, and y'all have a great morning.
All right, well, you're not pestering us. That's what we do is we love to get pestered.
Oh, man, I love listening to you guys.
Well, thank
you. Oh, my God.
Man, we love doing that.
I'll be back.
Get off my plane.
You a bounty hunter?
Man, he's got to do something for a living these days.
Dying ain't much of a living, boy.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Now, time for more of the Outdoor Show on Sports Radio 610.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 436 right here in the Bayou City on an Easter weekend. Did you see yesterday where they have these trackers on these great white sharks? And we have one in the Gulf of Mexico. Well, we had one last year, too. It's off the Florida coast. It's up in the north end, top end of the Gulf up there. But they did get some pings off of it. I forget the old gal's name. They have a name for that shark, but it's just a little old 1,600-pound great white. Nothing to see here, folks. Nothing to worry about. Seriously. You know, and it's really not that uncommon. I've heard of spottings of great white sharks by offshore shrimpers and offshore fishermen, you know, for years, you know, way out in the Gulf. I don't think anybody's probably ever... I don't know any surfers that ever saw one on a surfboard off the coast right here in Galveston, but it is it's pretty cool, I think. It really is. They can track these sharks, and they got these monitors on them. It's pretty neat. All right, let's go up to the Lake Conroe. They need a monitor on this guy, I can tell you that. Let's go talk to the fish dude. Richard, what are you doing, man?
I'm just sitting out here catching bait. That's about it. Feeling like Forrest Gump looking at all these million sparkles on the water.
Yeah, buddy. Well.
I'll tell you what, that moonlight and these little ripples, that's what it looks like, a million sparkles out here on the water.
Yeah, look at all the area lakes. You have a west wind at 5 this morning on Conroe. Lake Houston has a north wind at nothing. Rayburn's north wind at nothing, and so is Toledo Bend. So.
Yeah, but over here yesterday it was kicking 30 and 35.
We had to have had some gust yesterday to 40 miles per hour.
Oh, there ain't no doubt. I guarantee you, them dang old trees, they was just leaning and getting it. Boy, I tell you what, they couldn't take much more. It was blowing pretty dang hard out here this morning, or yesterday anyway. And then this morning you sit out here and it's just slick as it gets. I mean, it's just one of them things. It's just you go from one extreme to the other, and then like I thought it was May and stuff, you know, we're sitting out here 40 degrees right now in May. I'm going, what the heck is going on? You know, it's almost ice on the dang.
Well, it is still April, Richard.
Well,
I know you want it to be May, but it's still April.
But look, it's close.
Yeah,
it is so dang close.
10 days away.
I know, but I can't believe it's this dang cold in April. That's crazy, even though this ought to be the last one. But, you know, every year I sit there and think about it. Every year, and this little front came in a day early, but every year on Good Friday we get a big wind that blows.
It's your Easter and front. We always get an Easter front.
Always. The thing is, this made it just a little bit early. That's all it was. It just made it a little bit early.
Look how nice it's going to be for all the little kids tomorrow out hunting Easter eggs and family outings and cookouts and all that. What a great, and fishing. Don't leave fishing out, because a lot of people camping and fishing this weekend for Easter.
I'll tell you what, it's going to be a great weekend for it. You know, even though it's cool, I mean, these are perfect camping weekends.
Well, you got to have it cool enough to have a nice campfire at night when you're sitting around the fire and
kind of knocks the mosquitoes back too.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, buddy, that cool. Well, that's like this morning I was sitting out here and started catching bait. Dang those snakes, you know, I finally started seeing snakes. They come up to me when I'm catching bait in the mornings when they finally start moving around. The other morning I was sitting there catching bait, one of them right there next to the boat, and I'm going, dang, after I pulled in the net, sitting there going, where'd he go? I don't want to chunk my net over a snake. That wouldn't be no fun, pulling a big old snake in a cast net. Ain't no telling what he's liable to do, but I know one thing, I'm liable to lose a cast net.
Well, I remember when I used to go up to my grandpa's in the summer, we'd spend a month up there, me and my brother and sister, and we'd fish with my grandpa on the, I guess that would be the, up there by Grosbeck, would that be the Navasota River? I don't know, one of those rivers.
That's right.
He had a couple little spots there. We'd walk way down the bank, and they had them big old limestone-like bluffs, and he'd have a little flat there, and boy, we'd fill up a stringer with them big old bull brim and crappie and all that, and my little brother was, remember them old metal hook stringers, you know, the chain ones?
Yeah, yeah.
We'd have, each clip had about three or four perch on it, and Richard would go there, and he'd pull that stringer up and look at them fish all the time, and Papa would jump on him and tell him, put them fish back in the water, boy. So he went over there and pulled up on it. He said, man, it looks tight. He pulled up on it, and there was a big old diamondback water snake, had a whole perch in his mouth on there, and he threw the whole stringer in the water. I'll never forget that as long as I live. My grandfather was hot as, around the collar, buddy.
I bet he was. Boy, what'd you do that for? Old snake, just get rid of snake. Don't get rid of a fish. But,
you know, a little 6 or 7 year old kid sees a 6 foot diamondback water snake, you know, inhaling a perch on a stringer. He's going to drop it too. You know, you're going to throw it down and run.
There ain't no doubt. Well, I'll tell you what, that's some good times though. But I remember them old stringers would sure let fish go. Them dang those stringers like that, they'd come unsnapped on you or something, and fish go to jerking on it, and then you'd lose them. Or you'd lose the whole dang stringer. Those goofy little old stringers like that. And then, like, you get out there, and them snakes always eating fish on them stringers. I've never seen a stringer that you can hang off the bank for any length of time that the snake's not going to come up and try to eat your fish.
Yeah, lucky an alligator didn't get on it, or a gar. You know,
that'd be a nice critter. Well, it's like wading down there at Rockport. I used to go do that all the time, and you know those porpoises down there, they'll come up and snatch you. You know, the very first time I wade fish down there, we always just use stringers.
They'll almost eat out of your hand when they're waiting for you to throw those little trout back, especially in Rockport. They'll just sit and idle around you, and as soon as you catch one and throw it back, they eat it immediately.
I'll tell you what, it's amazing, because they'll get literally feet, like 2 feet from you. And you throw a little sand trout back, he'll come up and snatch it just as soon as he hits the water. And you go, dang, I didn't know that 500-pound rascal was sitting there.
How about a tail kick from one of them while you're standing there? That'd knock your knee out of joint, I can tell you that, or break a leg.
I guarantee you. Well, try getting, like I say, when we was down there first one doing it, had them trout on stringers, and I had 5 trout on the stringer. A buddy of mine says, if you leave it out there too far, them dang porpoises are going to come snatch them. And I said, oh, okay. Well, I had 5 trout on my stringer, and I'm cruising along there fishing. All of a sudden, I get jerked back about 5 feet, and I go, what the heck was that? And I pull my stringer up, and now I got 4 trout. I go, good night. And I tied it up a little bit closer to me, and I'm walking along there a little bit more fishing. Next thing I know, boom, I get jerked back again. I go, dang it. I pull my stringer up. I got 3 left. I go, good night. I'm sitting there feeding these porpoises. So I sucked it right next to my side, and them sungers would come right next to you. I mean, they would literally sit right there. They wouldn't get it as long as them trout's head was right up against you, but you let them get a foot off of you. You can't let them trout get a foot off of you with a stringer in Rockport. Them porpoises ate the heck out of them. They jerk you back with them. He always told us, don't worry about it. It ain't sharks. It's porpoises.
You know, I've never had a porpoise eat off my stringer, but I have sharks, but never a porpoise.
Now, the porpoises did it to me in Rockport. That, and then from that day on, we went to baskets, you know. So that's foot on that. There ain't no sense in getting everything stole from us that, that we're catching, you know.
Well, that's
so
true.
We just went to using baskets and stuff. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, because you just pile up a whole bunch of trout in a, or redfish in a basket. That's a nice, tasty morsel for a shark.
Well, did y'all get all those crawfish eaten up last night?
Oh, yeah. Good night. We loaded up with them crawfish. Goodness. That was, I'll tell you what, we've been trying to do that about once a week. I kind of figured this out. You know, go to these places and eat them. That way they do all the cleanup instead of you.
That's the way to do it. That's, you know, I can't tell you how many thousands of pounds of crawfish I've boiled over the years, and I enjoyed every minute of it till the cleanup afterwards. Everybody goes home with a full belly full of beer and crawfish, and you're stuck with a mess.
You're stuck with a mess. And I tell you what, every time we do it at the house, you know, we usually do 200 pounds at a time.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it ain't a little deal whenever we get to doing it. But we, you know, been going out and eating at some of these places around, they do pretty good. And, you know, as long as they purge them, I'm good with it. You get in those places where they don't purge.
Yeah, I don't like mud bugs. I like a good pink sand vein inside my crawfish with that white.
There you go.
Tail.
That's it. You and me both.
Because I like to suck the heads, and I'm not sucking the heads when they're full of mud. Might as well be out in the garden eating dirt, man.
Exactly. You know, I'm not. I ain't two no more. I don't have to make mud pies and eat them.
That's it.
You had a
pretty good mess of fish considering the weather yesterday.
Well, you know, yesterday we kind of got blown out. It was the day before.
It was the day before
we did pretty good. It's them, dang, these bulkhead fish are just going crazy. I mean, even though these cold fronts are kind of blowing in and stuff,
they're
still sitting up there. And this morning I'm really afraid they're going to push out, but because, you know, with it being so dang cold. But, you know, within the next couple of days, they ought to start coming right back up, you know, as soon as we get a little bit warmer weather, get out of this 40s and get back up at least into the mid-60s, you know.
Right.
Then these shad will start bumping right back up to the bulkheads. And because I've been noticing after the past three or four days, there's not as many up there as far as shad, and I'm really having to run around to different places and check and find, you know, what they're doing. Because the rock, you know, on the colder days, typically the rocks retaining the heat, so you tend to find more of them on the rock. Where on the warmer days, the sandy banks are holding a lot more fish. It's just you know, on these cooler mornings and stuff like this, the rock tends to be your areas that you want to be focused on. You know, right now, just because it's dang cold, but if it wasn't dang cold, these sandbars, oh my gosh, they're just everywhere. There's fish all over all these sandbars. And I'm talking about, you know, sandbars that are extending, you know, 150, 200 yards out in the middle of the lake.
Right.
You know, they're not just these little small sandbars. They're things that are obvious that people know about.
Mm-hmm.
And there's multiple sandbars around the lake that are like that. And these fish are just stacking up all over them. So, I mean, it's early in the morning, mm-hmm. especially these, you know, the shad running the bulkheads and stuff, they get on those sandbars and anywhere from 20 foot up to, you know, 5-6 feet, and they'll run up and just eat and then move back out in that deeper stuff as the sun gets up. So I'm just ready to see what the day has to haul. I'm ready. These rascals, I can feel it today. You know, I've been fishing them Tuesday nights, and this last Tuesday night, I just wasn't feeling it. So I didn't fish. I just didn't.
Yeah.
For some reason, I just didn't feel like the bite.
That's something.
Was
we fish so much. You can tell, you know, we've done it so long. You just got that feeling, you know?
Yep. Yeah. I mean, and there's days when you come out and you get on the water and you just know. I mean, it's like electricity in there. Everything is it's happening and you can feel it and you can, like, bait moving. And you know, just like this morning, I'm sitting in the middle of the freaking lake with lights on watching bait pop around the boat, you know? And that's what you do. I mean, you sit out here and do this kind of stuff. And when you figure it out and you kind of see, okay, well, this is moving this way and that way, shallow, deep, whatever, then you kind of figure out it's all there. And it's just these bulkhead fish that kind of get you confused. And like on the largemouth, these bed fish, when them rascals get up on them beds, they just, it's more irritating. I love doing it, but it's more irritating. I can't tournament fish when fish are on the beds. because I get too focused on those dang bedding fish. And, you know, unless you get the right.
Well, it's hard to just pull away when you're seeing really good fish like that, and you're doing everything in your power to catch them. And deep down, you know, you're probably not going to catch but one out of every 30 you see. And then,
you're right.
But you can't leave it. You just know that next cast you could pad that live well with a 7 or 8 pounder that'll really take you a long way.
Exactly, and that, you know, that's the thing, and that, you know, so that's, you know, I know there's still a few up, and I've noticed there's a lot of fry out right now. So most of these fish have completely spawned out on the north end. I haven't really checked the south end largemouth yet. But some of those, I know some of those are still up. Some of them are probably on the beds right now because of this full moon.
Yeah.
But, you know, that this should be the last push of spawning largemouth for the year, you know, right now. And it'll happen for this.
Well, the way these fronts keep coming and the water dropping, temp dropping and coming back up, it's hard to tell. Will thinks their biggest part of their spawn up there at Rayburn's going to be in about 2 weeks. The way it's looking, you know, by the bass he's catching,
right.
By checking their orviduct or gonadal opening.
Yep. Right. Yeah, the vent.
The vent, we could call it a lot of things.
You want to call it.
It's the extra hole by the anal fin.
Right. And that, you know, that's the thing. I don't know enough about them that way.
You just go by the redness and the pinkness of it and how puffy it gets, and you know when they're real close.
Right. Yeah. You know, that's, you can always tell when they're close because if it's real dark red, they'll actually start squirting them out in your live well.
Well, I've seen that. Yeah.
It'll dang sure do it too. Well, I mean, it's.
Yeah. I've caught trout before them. When you grab them, they just squirt eggs everywhere.
Yep. Yep. I mean, they're dropping as you're pulling them up. And, you know, it's like some of these largemouth, what's neat about them is, I mean, some of them, you look at them and you'll say, oh my gosh, it's a submarine down there. I mean, and things are 8, 10, 12 pounds down there that you can see. And I've done it on Lake Fork where I've sat up there and I've watched a fish that I know was over 10 pounds. And I would try to catch it on a bed and sit on that fish for 2 hours, you know, because you know you can catch it. And then finally catch it, you know, and that's the thing. It's always a challenge. That's what kills me with bed fishing. Or when they move up is because I'm going to
find patience. You know, there's people that's the only way they fish, the only way they like to bass fish, and they'll stay out there all day pitching at those fish to catch two, maybe three fish on a good day, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes just one or none, you know.
That's it. And I worked on one at Coleta Bend one time, and I was in a tournament. I can't remember which one, but I know Edwin Evers was across the creek from me. Matt Reed was over there also, and I was fishing 1 9-pounder on this little point, and I was sitting there flipping that thing for 2 hours, and after 2 hours, the fish left and never came back. I don't know where it went, and it bit one time out of 2 hours, and I knew it was going to bite. I mean, it just kept acting like it would, and it just left. I don't know where it went. That fish disappeared. Two wasted hours on one fish. I mean, totally wasted, because when it left, I mean, there was nothing there. That was the only thing there. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. I wasted all this time on this one fish, even though it was a 9-pounder. You know, I was like, okay, it's worth it if I can get it a bite. But whenever they just leave on you, and I mean, totally leave, they leave the area. They're not even there anymore. And it's like, what happened?
Just vanished.
It's amazing how they do. But I love doing that kind of stuff. You know, it's one of those love-hate deals. I can't fish a tournament doing it, but standing on the bank here at the marina, I do it all the time. You know, I mean, you walk down the bank here at Stollway along the bridge. There are not many of them there now, but 2 weeks ago and for, you know, a solid month, you could walk that bridge and there was a fish every 5 feet. You just had to throw at them, and you could catch some of them. Some of them been thrown out a bunch. Some of them been caught a bunch, and you could sit there and catch the heck out of them. And then they just, once they finish, they're finished.
Yeah.
And you see those little pods of fry swimming around, and you'll usually have one little buck bass that's guarding that group of fry. And then after they kind of move on, then it's done.
All right. Well, hey, before we get cut off, I got to go. Throw out your number. I put it out for you the other day when we cut off. I don't know what happened. That lightning
strike. Yeah, I guess one of them lightning bolts.
It got you. All right, Richard.
Anyone get in touch with me, 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
You got it, bud. Have a good
y'all
weekend. Happy Easter, Richard. See you, man.
Happy Easter
all right.
to y'all.
Later, bud.
All right.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.